we consider the philosophical nature of education, from Greek philosophers like Plato up to modern-day Dewey or Timoshenko, it has always been based on the ideas of betterment, of the individual, and by extrapolation, society. It is through the reflecting process that one can examine trends and patterns in the social development and suggest the appropriate path that could lead to a progressive enlightenment or improvement of the status quo. When I reflect on the social ills and nuances that detract from the greater good, I am drawn constantly to the work of one Nell Noddings, who was heavily influenced by John Dewey. Noddings' great tenet was based on the ethics of care, that all societal negatives stem from a deficient relationship, and that these relationships are directly impacted by the social value screens stemming from the dominant economic ideology. In essence, the very thing that drives society to dysfunction is the fundamental system that underpins every social interaction. As researchers Leo and Barton noted, all levels of the educational system have been influenced in varying degrees by the effect of marketization and globalization in terms of governance, funding, purpose, and function. Competition and capitalism always have a winner and a loser, and when we rank students, we are assigning worth to them and their efforts. To win is to feel validated, but to lose is to feel relegated. And so when we grade our children and they don't stack up to the peer group around them, regardless of whether it is due to ability, capacity, or circumstance, the result is a degradation of self-worth. Ross and Berger state that students are more likely to develop a sense of belonging and identity with the school if they feel welcomed and valued. So inclusion is, to me, a key to turning that competition into a race of one, to value the journey and progress rather than the comparative analytics. It is a key to a better, more accepting, and kinder society by valuing the individual because of their uniqueness. Currently, inclusion practices in my classroom run on a spectrum. On one end, we have the physical exceptionalities. I utilize the sound field system for hard of hearing students, offer preferential self-selected seating for all students. They are welcome to sit anywhere, provided it does not take away from the learning of others. Seating alternatives like standing desks or Swiss balls, and physical brain breaks for every 45 minutes of class instructional time. For academic accommodations, I use a SIOP, or Sheltered Instruction Observation Protocol, for English as additional language students that employs a multi-sensory approach to instruction, including front loading, simple language, written, modeled, and oral instructions, and the use of assistive technology such as laptops or voice-to-text dictation and reading. Our school practice is to integrate support as much as possible into the class. For example, the reading support provided to one student is accessible by a number of their peers, either simultaneously or separately. Finally, our school goal this year is focused on the social-emotional component, and as a school, we implemented the SSIS, or Social Skills Improvement System, which explicitly outlines and reinforces social actions and attitudes to improve acceptance and inclusiveness, and by extension, academic performance. This occurs in conjunction with our association and integration of the First Peoples Principles of Learning, which is an overt weaving of the traditional First Nations value as it relates to our learning. An immediately employable strategy is that modeling of equity beliefs to the school staff, of fostering and perpetuating the conversations around success for the different students in the school. As we often share students amongst teachers, inquiring as to performance, successes, and useful strategies, or even brainstorming possible solutions, opens the conversations around individualizing student learning. As has been discussed many times in the past, supporting First Nations learners means establishing relationships with the communities, giving access to the knowledge bank that does not exist within school resources. Specifically, we make efforts to invite elders into the classroom to transfer their knowledge on through being active participants in the oral culture, which in turn creates stronger relationships and shares cultures, practices, and beliefs. As noted in previous comments, it is through opportunities such as these that we can help strengthen the ties of mutual respect and understanding with not only First Nations communities, but also all students in our care.